Good evening. Well, good afternoon. Wow. It's kind of awkward to do a show at 3 p.m. Wow. Very predictable Elimination Chamber. You should all listen to me. Every match predicted correctly. Before we go any further, the Usos versus the Viking Raiders was nixed due to time constraints. They needed the show to be over by 11 p.m. in Saudi Arabia. And with the tribute to the Undertaker being inducted, being announced for the WWE Hall of Fame, they decided to scrap the Viking Raiders and the Usos. And that match will probably take place on a SmackDown. But look, every match, every prediction ended up being correct. There was no question that Bianca Belair was winning that chamber match. They are going to right the wrong that took place at SummerSlam. And the seeds have been planted. Even the announcers now bringing up the combined 500 days that Becky
Super
Lynch.
Chat.
Hey, how's it going? All right, so somebody with an impromptu super chat. All right, let's enable the alerts. Steve Joseph. Steve Joseph is, I know this is not snide, but he's asking me. Now, by the way, any questions, any comments today, let's keep it for Elimination Chamber. I'm still undecided if we should do a show tonight in the regular 8.05 p.m. time slot. You know, maybe I'll do a quick impromptu poll. If not, we will do tomorrow on the sit down. But as far as, hang on. Let me just pull it up. All right, let's get this out of the way also. You know, I didn't make a match prediction 6 weeks ago. I said a match idea with the Usos doing 3D and doing a few moves, maybe with Saudi Arabia because they like their larger-than-life stars, maybe we could possibly get the Dudleys versus the Usos in Saudi Arabia. But just so everybody knows, the reason why that's not happening is because Devon Dudley is in the hospital right now. Devon Dudley had spinal fusion surgery. Devon Dudley's wrestling career is over. No Saudi Arabia one-shot deal. You know, I don't think 20 years from now, 19 years from now, Devon, and, you know, we obviously love the man, but that is why that is not even considered. So I figured you would know that by now. But anyway, Bianca Belair, they're righting the wrong with SummerSlam. WWE is not going to go on the fast track to appease social media. WWE is not going to take alternate routes because no matter what they do, there's going to be that group that do not like WWE. I thought it was, look, and I am a huge Meltzer supporter. I subscribe to his newsletter. Meltzer has done a lot of great things over the years. Very, very generous in some of the causes that I have done over the years. All right, but I thought it was so disrespectful to put out his year-end awards the day before Elimination Chamber on a Friday. Politics. Politicians usually dump shit on a Friday afternoon so it could get snuck in over the weekend. I thought that was a little bit tacky on his part. I'm just expressing an opinion. I don't know if anybody even looked at it that way, but that was like, okay, Elimination Chamber, the road to WrestleMania, Saudi Arabia. Yeah, we'll do this the night before. But Bobby Lashley, I think with Bobby Lashley losing the championship today, I think it is safe to say two things. Steve Austin wrestling at WrestleMania appears to be happening. Now, I know what some of you are going to say. Well, where do you get that from? Well, remember, WWE originally wanted to plant the seeds.
Super chat.
WWE originally wanted to plant the seeds of Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens. And do I think Kevin Owens will still turn on Seth Rollins? That is a possibility. But now with the rumors of Steve Austin doing something. Now, if you heard my show last week, I would love to see Steve Austin come out and do a segment. Maybe Kevin Owens does the KO show. He puts down Texas, doesn't even have a match, you know, just really runs down the crowd And then Steve Austin comes out. Maybe he has Steve Austin as a guest, pre-announced for the Kevin Owens show. And then it ends up with a little toast, and Steve Austin with a stunner to Kevin Owens. He climbs the ropes, has a bunch of beers. Everybody in Dallas, Texas goes nuts. We have Steve Austin at WrestleMania. Full-blown match, you know, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. We'll talk about that on a different show. But the fact is, with Bobby Lashley taken out of the chamber, didn't get pinned, didn't get submitted, this was the bullshit finish that we were worried about. Remember my predictions last Monday? I wanted Bobby Lashley to win. I know a lot of you out there wanted Bobby Lashley to win. As Chris Silver said in Super Chat, he wanted Lashley to win as well, but at least he wasn't pinned. But when we did predictions, we pointed out what we want. And what WWE is going to do is two totally different things. And when you do predictions, you have to keep that in mind. And last Monday we said, we all want Bobby Lashley to win, but we believe Brock Lesnar is going to be the champion. And they're going to do title for title to make that match with Roman Reigns come off as the biggest thing in decades. The biggest title for title. That's all you're going to see everywhere. Bobby Lashley, obviously, regaining the championship, beating Brock Lesnar was huge for his Hall of Fame legacy. Bobby Lashley will be in the Hall of Fame, without a doubt. But him losing the title this quickly is not something that many of us wanted. But with the marquee of title versus title, that is bigger. So now, with Bobby Lashley losing, not getting pinned, not being submitted, but taken out inadvertently by Seth Rollins, now it seems like we're going to get Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania. Bobby Lashley is going to go after Seth Rollins for costing him the WWE Championship. So with Seth Rollins indirectly taking out Lashley and Lashley wanting his revenge, that takes Seth Rollins away from Kevin Owens. And now with Kevin Owens with no feud, no opponent, it either comes down one-on-one or Steve Austin is a guest on the Kevin Owens show at WrestleMania. So we'll do a poll next week. Which would you rather have? One-on-one match, KO versus Steve Austin, or Steve Austin on the Kevin Owens show? But I think this obviously causes a domino effect, what we saw on TV today. Lita putting on a fabulous performance. We talked about it last week. There was no question Becky Lynch was going to make Lita look like $1 million. But this is different between Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. You know, Becky Lynch was the ring general in that match with Liv Morgan, and Liv Morgan did some of her offense, and Becky Lynch, you know, if you remember that match, we talked about it, and I love Liv Morgan. She will be a women's champion in the future. But Becky Lynch sold a lot of what Liv was delivering. Very one-sided. Today, Lita held her own. Lita didn't just, you know, Becky didn't just walk into offense. Lita did a fine job today, and she earned that payday. That is a huge payday for Lita. My only concern is a lot of your concern that we've talked about the last couple of weeks. Does this continue for Lita? Or is this it? Was it just the Saudi Arabia payday? And that's it. Do we get Lita at WrestleMania? Do we get a little bit of a program from here? Only time will tell. Only time will tell. I thought Elimination Chamber was fine. I mean, every match that we predicted ended up happening. And I honestly don't think there was a bad match on the card. Now, if you saw my photo montage that I put together myself before the show started, I am concerned about Madcap Moss. My God, that Alabama slam that Drew McIntyre put on Moss, he landed flush on his head. Gave me shades of Sabu versus Chris Benoit ECW many, many, many years ago. Let me tell you something. I hope to God he's okay, Moss. And look, it appears he's okay, but you know, you just never know. But I will say this. this might be the turning point in Moss's WWE career in a good way, because sometimes you get a wrestler that's not completely over with the crowd. They take a hard bump and they suck it up and they continue to match, even if it probably wasn't the best idea. That gains respect in a lot of fans. And towards the end of that match, you did hear Saudi Arabia chanting for Madcap Moss's name, Twilight Zone. So I hope he's okay. I hope he's okay. I hope you all are doing okay. So this is your WWE Elimination Chamber recap. We are going to fly through these matches because there's really no need to spend a whole boatload of time on this. In fact, the more I think about it, I think we will hold off, not do a show tonight at 8 o'clock. Instead, we will do it tomorrow at 8 o'clock to sit down. It'll be a joint show. We'll do the Don Tony show and we'll do some either live chat or calls. We'll see. We'll see how the night goes. So this way, we'll just focus today on Elimination Chamber. Now, one other thing that I know had a lot of buzz, and there was a lot of confusion online, no question. Me, I don't tweet anymore other than responding to some of you or showing some love to some of my friends out there. But a lot of people were confused about this. All right. I know on the screen it just looks like a picture of The Miz's head, but on the kickoff show today, we had Rey Mysterio beating The Miz, and we'll get into the details on that match in a moment. But later on in the night, he was interviewed by, I believe, Kevin Patrick, and The Miz said that, you know, about Dominic, and, you know, he needs to get an equalizer, and he has somebody in mind he's going to make a phone call to. Number one, a boatload of people online thought that there was a match happening tonight. Now, again, if you knew about the Saudi Arabia curfew, it's not really a curfew, but they had to be done by 11 p.m. Saudi time. It just didn't seem like it was possible to have another match. At that time, we still thought we were getting the Usos versus the Viking Raiders. But a lot of people thought that there was going to be a tag match tonight. That interview with The Miz was to set up a match on Raw. A lot of people also think that The Miz is calling up Cody. Look, this is why it's great to be a wrestling fan. You fantasize. You know, you try to guess. You know, we like surprise. The element of surprise is a huge part of pro wrestling. That's why Tony Khan has the Forbidden Door tramp stamped on his head. And I say that in a good way. He has to remember, you know, worry about the revolving door also, not just the forbidden door. Surprise, surprise, surprise. You don't want AEW to be like a Cracker Jack box, that the only way you get a burst of people is if, you know, there's a big surprise tease or something. No, you want people to tune in because you like your product. But this is the tease Monday Night Raw. Will it be Cody? I tell you, it would be fabulous if it was Cody. Because remember Thursday night, my WrestleMania idea, Cody and Brandy versus Miz and Maryse. I don't want to see it happen. I was just thinking outside the box, but hey, Monday we will see who he actually got in touch with. I don't think he's contacted Bad Bunny. You know what? Maybe he contacts Damian Priest. No. So anyway, so let's run down Elimination Chamber. Let's pull up the pictures. There we go. One other thing. I just want to get this out of the way to clear up some confusion as well. The commentators tonight, Zach Alberson, welcome to the family, Zach. The announcers today were talking about how Ronda Rousey wore her gi from the Olympics. And, you know, I just want to, this is not to poo-poo on it. I thought it was awesome. I love the look. You know, you got to remember, this is Saudi Arabia. You know, things are a little bit different and it's respected differently there. Ronda Rousey is beloved there for her MMA career. We've talked about that before. But that was not the actual gi she wore in the Olympics. I seriously doubt she would have unsewn the USA Olympic logo from it, so it was obviously not the same one. It was a replica, I believe, but still, nonetheless, nice outfit. You know, I don't think I'm wrong on this one. I mean, if you actually look at them side by side, they're very, very similar. But again, I don't think, you know, you would take the, there was no USA logo on the outfit today. So, but still, nonetheless, nice little tribute. And you know what? She did great. She did great. Ronda Rousey, I think her number one problem in WWE or what WWE needs to just remind her, be happy. Be happy. We know you're the baddest bitch on the planet. We know her, what she can do. Be happy. You could smile and be angry smile. You know, like Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, I mean, he's having the time of his life, but he's still beating the living daylights out of everybody. All Ronda Rousey has to do is smile and not act like she's constipated, not act like she hates being there. If she just smiles, problem solved. Problem solved. So, all right, let's get into the matches. WWE Elimination Chamber from Saudi Arabia. Kickoff match, we had Rey Mysterio versus The Miz. Right at the outtake of the match, Miz jumps Rey Mysterio. Maryse was not there because they have a family. Maryse stood home to be with her kids, to take care of the family. No controversy, everyone. WWE had about, what, 14, 15 women in Saudi Arabia? That's awesome. That's history. And it's sad how much that aspect of it was ignored by so many people online. But that's why Maryse wasn't there. There was no controversy. With Rey Mysterio, as we said last week, being on the box for the WWE video game, being a larger-than-life superhero in Saudi Arabia, you're not going to kick off the Elimination Chamber weekend in Saudi Arabia by having Rey Mysterio lose to The Miz. Dominic was in the corner of Rey. During the match, Miz confronted Dominic, baited him a little bit. Dominic actually nailed The Miz once. The funny thing about it was he wasn't ejected at that time. But later on in the match, Miz was outside the ring, and he grabbed the chair. Dominic tried to pull the chair away from Miz, but Miz threw himself in the ring steps, intentionally tried to pull another Eddie Guerrero, and he blamed it on Dominic. So now the referee ejects Dominic. But what ends up happening is Miz goes for the skull-crushing finale. Mysterio countered it, got the fruit roll-up, and Rey Mysterio is your winner. Fun match, a little bit more time than you would normally get on a Monday Night Raw. In the end, Rey Mysterio wins. And if you go back and you look at the photo montage, I liked his outfit. Very, very cool outfit. I know a lot of people were comparing it to what, the Green Lantern or Green Hornet. I don't know. But it looked like a nice outfit. And Rey Mysterio is your winner. Now we go to Roman Reigns versus Goldberg. Roman is going to Goldberg. Now, look, when you think of a Goldberg match, shouldn't go past 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes at the most. This match went, I think, 5 minutes and 59 seconds. It's either 5:59 or 6 minutes on the nose for those that took part in the predictions contest and channel members on YouTube. Roman Reigns comes out first, gets on the microphone. Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, acknowledge me. Goldberg comes out, incredible physique. And right off the bat, we get a spear by Goldberg. And Roman Reigns is rattled a little bit, trying to suspend that disbelief that Goldberg possibly has a shot. Goldberg with another spear, which ultimately gets countered by Roman Reigns. He hits the rock bottom, gets a two count. Roman Reigns with the Superman punch. And now we're thinking, oh my God, this match might be over in 2 minutes. Second match on the show, technically the first, since Rey and Miz were in the pre-show. So Roman Reigns goes for another Superman punch, but he is greeted with another spear from Goldberg. I tell you, for a 6-minute match, it did what it needed to do. But the idea that Goldberg is going to wrestle at Mania, I mean, at this point, if he signs a new contract, and look, how many people clickbaited you that Goldberg was going to win the championship this weekend just so you could tune into their shows? There was never any chance that you were going to take the title off of Roman Reigns and then what? Have Brock versus Goldberg? We even joked about that last week. And what? Steve Austin's going to be the referee? Let it be a repeat of that WrestleMania, that one of the worst marquee matches in the history of WrestleMania? Nobody wants that. I'm a huge fan of Goldberg. But I even say, if WWE signs Goldberg again for another 2 or 3 match deal, you know who he's got to face? Austin Theory. You know who he's got to face? Baron Corbin. I don't want to see that. He's got to face lower-end wrestlers, and he needs to get a win once in a while. I mean, he looks good in defeat, but it's defeat over and over and over again. Are they trying to do the reverse streak that after 5 years, oh my God, he's 0-18? You know, and he's got to help bring up some of the other young guys. And even if he wins, he could still elevate. You don't think Austin Theory earned his stripes today? We talked about it last week. We said expect Austin Theory to get the shit knocked out of him in the Elimination Chamber. And that is going to garner respect from fans. Mosset's a little different because it was an accident. Austin Theory today got the shit knocked out of him. And he will benefit from it. Mark Anderson thinks that Goldberg should retire. Look, this is how I look at it. You look at the guy's physique. He still looks awesome. He had a believable match with Roman Reigns. You know, there's why retire him and that's it. He could still do it a little bit. But I think Goldberg is better suited with lower-end talent if you're going to re-sign him. If WWE inked another contract, I would have no problem with it as long as he's not fighting the top of the roster. Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to get 0-187, James. So what ends up happening in this match, you know, the story in this match was Goldberg hits a little offense. Roman Reigns hits a little offense. Goldberg tries to hit a signature finisher. Roman Reigns blocks it or counters it. And what ends up happening is Goldberg, you know, rocks Roman Reigns a little bit, attempts the jackhammer, but Roman Reigns blocks the jackhammer and turns it into the guillotine. Roman Reigns defeats Goldberg. Goldberg taps out to the guillotine, and he retains your Universal Championship. It did what it needed to do. I just, at this point now, like I said, I think Goldberg, you quietly let it go, or if you ink another deal, you know, maybe have Goldberg come out and spear somebody at Mania, somebody that we all can't stand. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, let him beat the crap out of Reggie. I'll be fine with that. You know, so Roman Reigns remains your champion. Next on the list, we have the Women's Elimination Chamber match. Now, look, I don't want to say like I told you so, but a lot of people were baffled why this match was so fast, why this match really didn't have a whole lot of violence in it. We talked about it for 3 weeks straight, that Saudi Arabia was not thrilled about having a women's elimination chamber match. They wanted it to be all about the men. And when they agreed to it, they agreed to it to be watered down and to not last all that long. The entire Elimination Chamber match went about 15 minutes. And some of that is simply because of the amount of time it takes to open each pod. So what ends up happening, you start off with Liv Morgan and Nikki Ash. Doudrop comes in next. Doudrop was great in this match. Liv Morgan, I think everybody, with the exception of maybe Nikki Ash, I mean, everybody seemed to impress. Rhea Ripley comes in for, and this was all quick. I mean, this was very, very quick. As soon as Rhea came in, she had a little bit of offense when Nikki Ash pins her almost immediately. Alexa Bliss comes in, and the look, I'm a huge Alexa Bliss fan. I mean, I know a lot of you are as well. It's nice to see her back. Her outfit, you know, is pretty similar to what it was before. Not any major changes, but God bless Alexa Bliss. First move she does one of those gymnastic moves where she flips upside down and she's going to do a splash onto Liv Morgan. She freaking almost landed on her feet. And she almost went feet first into Liv Morgan. It was sloppy, let's be honest. But she hits the move on Liv for a two count. Probably my favorite move next to Bianca with the one-arm press slam to Liv Morgan. But Doudrop climbs to the middle rope, and Liv Morgan catches her and hits. Looked really nice. Camera work was great. Hit a sunset powerbomb. So Liv Morgan actually pins Doudrop. Next, we got Bianca Belair. That's it. Every participant is now in the match. Bianca is in the ring. She hits the one-arm press to Liv Morgan. Rhea Ripley, this was a funny spot. Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair picked up Liv Morgan and Alexa Bliss, respectively. Bianca picked up Liv. Rhea picked up Alexa Bliss. And Rhea, to try to show up Bianca, because Bianca had just done the one-arm press slam, Rhea Ripley has Alexa Bliss upside down in a suplex. And if you looked at the opening pictures, you could see the outfit that Alexa Bliss was wearing. So when Rhea had Alexa Bliss upside down, she took one of her arms away. And she actually went like this to, you know, to Bianca. She's like flexing, like, yeah, I could do one arm too. And every time she removed her arm, Alexa Bliss's dress would flop upside down. Now, Alexa Bliss was wearing, like, spandex underneath, so it was fine. But it was funny because every time Rhea would move her arm, the dress would go down. And then she tried to, like, hold the dress back up again because of Saudi Arabia. You don't want to piss off. Look, there's some radical people over there still. You don't want anybody pissed off for any little reason. But if you go back and you watch it, it is pretty funny because Rhea Ripley's trying to hold the dress up, but also trying to show that she could do the one arm as well. But what ends up happening is we get double knees to Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair by Liv Morgan. But then Alexa Bliss, you know, flips upside down, throws back Liv Morgan, and hits Twisted Bliss for the win. So Alexa Bliss pins Liv Morgan. So now we're down to Bianca, Rhea Ripley, and Alexa Bliss. We're now getting This Is Awesome chance by the fans. The fans loved it. KOD by Bianca Belair. On to Rhea Ripley for the win. So now we're down to Alexa Bliss and Bianca Belair. And before you knew it, Bianca slams Alexa into the chamber a few times and then hits the KOD for the win. Like I said, the entire match went about 15 minutes. You had a couple of pins, one after the other. But still, Alexa Bliss, you know, overall looked very good in her return. Bianca Belair gets the win, and the seeds that have been planted for months and months and months, for the last several months, we've been talking about all those little seeds that were being planted that nobody paid attention to. And that was all designed. So when Bianca Belair pins Becky Lynch at WrestleMania, it is going to feel astronomic that the first person to defeat Becky Lynch, the first person to beat Becky Lynch in over 500 days, at that time, you're looking at almost 550 days, that is going to be huge. That is going to be huge. And when you look at Bianca Belair now compared to SummerSlam when she was still a champion, Bianca Belair is so much higher on the food chain than before. So in the end, this helped her. That's why, like I say, do not worry about Big E. Do not worry about Big E. And it's not a black or a white thing. It's just right now, it wasn't the perfect storm for Big E to remain champion. You get through WrestleMania, they will do right for Big E. Do not worry. You know, WWE a lot of times piss us off with their storylines, piss us off with some of their decisions. But more times than not, they ultimately will right the wrong if you really look at it. We'll see what happens. But I think this, it was pretty predictable as far as who's going to win that match. Next on the list, we had Ronda Rousey and Naomi versus Charlotte Flair and Sonya Deville. You know, I was very happy for Naomi. She stole the show, in my honest opinion. I mean, she just worked her freaking ass off and just continues to show everyone why, you know, she definitely deserves to be much higher on the food chain as well. The story of this match was Ronda Rousey having one arm tied, not behind her back, but on her side. Yeah, I saw people make it such a big deal. They said behind the back. It's on the side. What do you want her to accidentally break her fucking arm? You know, they tied the arm on the side. And, you know, that was supposed to neutralize Ronda Rousey because Sonya Deville said that, she, you know, that Ronda said, you know, she could beat me with one arm tied behind the back. All right, we'll tie the arm. So the match early on, you got Sonya Deville with a lot of offense on Ronda Rousey, Charlotte with a little bit of offense as well. But remember what we said last week. In the end, Charlotte Flair was going to be the chicken shit. She was going to be the chicken shit that was going to bow down to Ronda Rousey. And that's exactly what ended up happening today. Ronda Rousey, early on in the match, you know, taking a lot of offense from Charlotte and Sonya. She gets the hot tag onto Naomi. Naomi, beautiful corkscrew over the top rope outside the ring onto Charlotte. And then ultimately, towards the end of the match, Ronda Rousey hits the Piper's Pit Samoan drop. And then she grabs Sonya's arm. And Charlotte is outside on the ring corner, you know, and holding the ring rope still, by the way. And Ronda Rousey's trying to, like, bait Charlotte, come in. Charlotte, as we said last week, she was going to be the chicken shit. She's like, nah. And she just lets Ronda Rousey lock the armbar onto Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville taps out almost immediately. And Ronda Rousey and Naomi are your winners. So Mike Pitt says, more often than not, WWE rights the wrong. I must be watching alternate universe. Tell me where they don't right the wrongs. Why? Because Keith Lee got released. Because Killer Cross got released. Because somebody you like is not. Tell me how more times than not. Tell me. Give me examples. And don't just give me one. Give me examples. It's just that they don't do it as quickly as you wanted. And look, I feel you. I feel you. A lot of ways, I'm with you. But again, this is episodic television. This is not 2-3 weeks. Oh, everybody's having pissed off about Big E. You know, we were going to have him win next year's WrestleMania. No, let's just do it now. Where all the attention is on Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair and this person and this person and Becky Lynch. And why would you want that to happen now? Why would you do that? He's a matter of fact right now.
Super chat.
Chris Cutler loved the women's bodysuits. Hang on a second. That's better. Loved the women in bodysuits. The match didn't look like a slumber party with those oversized t-shirts. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. A lot of people were looking at Liv Morgan earlier in the night, comparing her to wearing Britney Spears. Didn't Becky Lynch wear an all red outfit within the last 2 months and everybody was comparing the same outfit? It was interesting because, like, wait, Becky Lynch just wore the same type of outfit. But yeah, no, they wore it. They look good. I mean, obviously they have to cover up still. And, you know, if that's the sacrifice, there's so much progress that has happened. So, you know, we take it. So, wow, I'm pissing off a lot of people by saying that WWE rights the wrong. Guys, gals, you know, the wrestlers that are team players in WWE, from Seth Rollins to Sami Zayn to Kevin Owens to Big E to Bianca Belair to now Naomi a little bit. You know, I mean, ultimately, they do get the opportunity. I mean, you know, I know that goes against the grain, and that's the popular mindset with a lot of shows out there. But come on. I mean, seriously, give me fucking examples. Post five examples over the last 3 years. 3 years. That's 1,500 days. Give me five good examples where WWE did not right the wrong for someone. And don't give me somebody that was released. Chris Silver is asking, do I think we're going to get Sonya versus Naomi at Mania? You know, I talked about this last week. I did not like that storyline at all. It's like Chris Statlander and Layla Hirsch. You know, the feud that never wants to die. I mean, it's just, it's dragging on for like 3 months. It's for what? It just dragged on too long.
Super chat.
But right now, I personally think that it's picked up so much. And Sonya in the ring now. And Sonya looks great. She looks great. And with Naomi, the best thing that WWE did was allow Naomi and Charlotte to go almost 20 minutes last week. I mean, that might be arguably women's match of the year so far for WWE. Now I actually can tolerate the feud with Naomi and Sonya. The only way I see it happening to me, there's got to be some major stipulation involved. Maybe if Sonya loses, she's no longer an authority figure. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind it. I would not mind it if we get that. But thank you very much, Chris. Thank you very much. So Ronda Rousey sends a message to Charlotte Flair. And that is obviously your match at WrestleMania. And that match is designed for one thing and one thing only, for Ronda Rousey to beat the crap out of Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair will continue being a chicken shit. And then Ronda will get her hands on Charlotte big time at Mania, and she will wail away. I just hope it's not those punches that she does in a corner sometimes. If you look at it, it looks like one of those Rock'em Sock'ems. Was those punching things from the 90s? But the match did what it needed to do. Okay, as we said earlier, Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss. There was a scary moment during this match with Drew McIntyre hitting the Alabama Slam on Moss and him landing square on his head. And they showed replays. And I tell you, he got tossed over the announcer's table and he still looked like he was knocked for a loop. Drew hit him with a DDT later on. And some of the moves that followed, I was like, man, I really hope this guy is okay. I mean, sometimes you just are on adrenaline. But that gained a lot of sympathy, not only from the fans in Saudi Arabia, but for all of us at home. Match opens up with Baron Corbin, since it's false count anywhere, no DQ. Baron Corbin jumps Drew McIntyre, but ultimately Drew chases him away. They brawl up the ramp a little bit. Moss and McIntyre leads back into the ring. We get that spot, obviously. You could see that McIntyre was trying to kill a little bit of time to make sure that Moss was okay. They end up brawling outside the ring by the announcer's table. Corbin comes back with a chair, wails Drew McIntyre in the back with the chair. And then Corbin and Moss throwing McIntyre into the barricade, try to, you know, get some extra time. But what ends up happening was McIntyre cuts off Moss, connects with a beautiful superplex off the top rope, only for a two count. But now we're getting this is awesome chance. And I tell you, I felt really good for Moss that he was in a match that got this is awesome chance. Yes, Saudi Arabia, you know, they so appreciative. They'll chant this is awesome for maybe some matches that we normally wouldn't, but I'm sure that felt damn good for him. Then we got, you know, moments. Now, obviously, it's just a prop, but you can only imagine one day somebody's going to slip and, you know, you're going to see a really dumb moment in the ring. But Drew McIntyre grabs Angela, the sword, and Corbin is in the ring. And Drew McIntyre turns around and just swings for the fences. Corbin ducks, gets out of the ring, and Corbin is losing his shit. Corbin is flipping out to the referee. How could you let him with the sword? Because, you know, I know, I'm sure the dramatic waste of sperm on social media going to be like, oh my God, look at that. Khashoggi, and he's swinging his sword in Saudi Arabia. I guarantee you got whack jobs doing that tonight. But what happens? Drew McIntyre, he's got the sword in hand, and Moss charges McIntyre, but he hits him with the Claymore kick, puts his foot on Moss's chest, holds the sword in hand, sending a message to Corbin. Yeah, the match that we all feared is likely going to happen. Baron Corbin versus Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. Hopefully night one, kickoff show, kickoff match before the kickoff show, maybe the free-for-all the night before the kickoff. That's what it seems like. That's what it seems like. So Drew McIntyre is your winner. Moss's first loss since, what, last year? Even though, I mean, 2022 is only a month and a half in, so it's not that big of a deal. So now we get the interview with Miz, that he's going to make a phone call, get a partner. And again, a lot of people thought that match was going down tonight. No, that is for Raw. And we'll see what happens. Personally, in a perfect world, I'd love to see Morrison back. Seriously, I'd love to see Morrison back. I don't expect that to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Ziggler or somebody else. But, you know, man, I think it'd be pretty cool if they ended up working out a new deal. I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, wishful thinking, but we'll see what happens. I personally think that was, out of all the releases recently, Morrison is probably the one that pissed me off the most. And I know most of you would say, wait a minute, you mean to tell me Cross wasn't? No, because I think Cross, you know, he's so young in his career that he could come back. Keith Lee, I'm still not sure, you know, in WWE's eyes, if they were worried about his health. And I'm not trying to throw speculation out there. I'm just telling you, I think WWE made a mistake releasing those guys as well. But for some reason, Morrison, his release pissed me off more than all the others. So it'd be pretty freaking cool if they could maybe re-sign Morrison. A couple of nice guarantees, maybe a nice signing bonus. That's what a lot of these release stars need to do. If we're going to accept another bullshit WWE contract where we could possibly get released and get 3 months of free pay again, get a nice signing bonus. All right, you want me to come back? Give me $200,000 signing bonus. Even if you change your mind tomorrow, I still get to keep that $200,000. So if you release someone after 2 or 3 months, well, they got the $200,000 signing bonus, and they got 3 extra months that they get paid without doing nothing. I think they work out pretty damn good.
Super chat.
So I'll answer couple of super chats in a moment and some questions in the chat. We don't leave anybody out. We don't leave anybody out. But let's get to the next match. We had Becky Lynch versus Lita. And as I said earlier, Lita looked great. Yes, before, and I'm sure it's going to be a big deal online, you've audibly heard Becky Lynch on numerous occasions telling Lita what to do. Throw a swing at me. Throw this, throw that. The awful microphone work around ringside. It wasn't their fault, the girls, the women. But you heard that audibly a few times. But, you know, Lita looking good. You ask yourself, you know, if this is just a one-shot deal, then yeah. Okay, I liked the little vignette that they did before Elimination Chamber started, and they showed Lita training and working out. I thought that was pretty freaking cool. If Lita is not booked for anything additional in the near future, then this might have just taken everything out of her. You know, put it all out there. Even if it takes me 6 months to feel better, you know, I did it. But the way you saw Lita perform today, I kept saying to myself, why was she not performing in the last couple of years? Not even a little bit. Not even some novelty tag matches. Like, why is she not? Match was good. Lita and Becky Lynch early on, trading a lot of punches. Lita connected with a crossbody off the middle rope. Becky Lynch acting stunned. Becky Lynch tries to go to the top rope, and Lita took her out with a head scissors and then hit the twist of fate for a two count. And now, you know, some people are thinking, oh, my God, could you imagine if Lita wins the championship? Now, sure, look, if you think of the storyline with Bianca, you understood why that was highly unlikely. But you know what's interesting? I don't know if you all picked up on it today. And this is not to knock AEW or fans. Just an observation that I saw today that I have a feeling a lot of you have seen as well. If you watch an AEW match, if you had a dollar for every time this happened, you'd be able to buy a house. And I know I'm exaggerating, but how many matches have you seen where you'll see somebody eat one, two, three finishers, and they kick out at two? Even to the point where the commentators, you know, almost baffled, like, why the fuck is this person kicking out? Yet, when Lita hits the moonsault and hits the twist of fate, when Becky kicked out at two, you saw those same fans online like, the fuck, holy shit, holy shit, you kicked out at two. But in AEW, somebody could kick out of 19 finishing moves and not a peep is heard, not even a mouse. Just something that I've noticed. But they had a great match. Near, the reason why the Usos did not perform is for time constraints. Elimination Chamber had to be done by 11 p.m. Saudi Arabia time. And with the Undertaker tribute package that aired, there was not enough time between intros and outros and the actual match. So they did a little sneak attack before the match started. That's why that happened. So Lita putting on a phenomenal performance. She goes for a moonsault. Becky Lynch cuts her off, hits the disarmer. Then the manhandle slam, but Lita gets her foot on the ropes. Mistake, storyline mistake. Lita hits the twist of fate onto Becky Lynch. She doesn't go for the pin. So now we're thinking, okay, she's going to go for the moonsault. Becky's going to move out of the way. Pin Lita, put her foot on the ropes, cheat to win, cheat to win. And that's how it's going to end. So what happens? Lita hits the twist of fate, doesn't go for the pin. Now we expect a mistake on Lita's part, but no. Lita hits the freaking moonsault. She goes for the immediate pin. Becky Lynch kicks out at two. And before you knew it, not much happened after that. Becky Lynch with the manhandle slam gets the pin. And I loved it because we didn't have a bullshit finish like what Becky Lynch has been doing by putting her feet on the ropes. Clean victory in the middle of the ring. That showed the amount of respect that Lita has for Becky Lynch as well. A lot of respect on both sides. And after the match was over, Becky Lynch got out of the ring quickly, left Lita in the ring. They played Lita's music. Lita climbs the top rope, and the Saudi Arabia crowd loved Lita. And it was really, really good. I enjoyed this match very much. The outcome was predictable, but still nonetheless, very, very good match. Enjoyed it. Very, very well job done by Lita. Absolutely. So, okay, well, I'll answer the Cody Mysterio question next after we finish the matches, because we only, I think, have two matches left, really. Well, technically one. As we said a few times, the Usos versus the Viking Raiders did not happen. What we had occur instead is the Viking Raiders come out for their match. The Usos attack them before the bell starts. They leave them laying outside the ring. The Usos walk to the back. And obviously their match was cut because of time constraints. So now we're about, I would say, 10, 20, 10:25 Saudi time. So we knew there was about a half an hour left for the main event. And the main event was the Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Championship. Seth Rollins serenaded by the fans. We open up with Seth Rollins and Austin Theory. They're battling it out first. Then we get the controversy that we talked about at the beginning of the night. Seth Rollins brawling with Austin Theory. And by the way, if you saw the photos, I laughed my ass off. See, Brock Lesnar wasn't out there yet. Brock Lesnar came out last. When Austin Theory came out before the match started, AJ, Riddle, and Lashley were already in their chambers. So Austin Theory grabs the cell phone, and he walks up to each chamber, and he takes a selfie with his opponent in the chamber. So he takes the picture by AJ Styles, and AJ Styles is like, Jesus. He takes the picture with Lashley, and Lashley looks like he's got to take a dump. He's got that constipated look on his face. He goes to Riddle, and Riddle's like, gotta love Riddle. Gotta love Riddle. So Austin Theory starts off with Seth Rollins, and then we get the controversy. Seth Rollins hits Austin Theory with the buckle bomb, but throws Austin Theory into Bobby Lashley's pod. Bobby Lashley falls backwards. The announcers are trying to sell it that Bobby Lashley didn't have his attention on what was going down, that he might have been looking at Brock Lesnar, concerned with Brock Lesnar. So Bobby Lashley is selling like he got seriously injured. They showed a replay of it, and, you know, the only thing I guess you could say is when Bobby Lashley went backwards, maybe he hit his head. That's what they're trying to play off. So you got a bunch of attendants attending to Bobby Lashley. So while this is going on, Riddle is in next. Nothing eventful going down with Riddle going into the chamber. Then we had AJ Styles. And now at this point, you got Austin Theory, Riddle, AJ Styles in the ring. Seth Rollins in the ring. And no one is pinned yet, but they now start sending Bobby Lashley to the back. And some people thought that Lashley would ultimately come back out. Some people were concerned that, okay, this is how Lashley is going to lose the WWE Championship. And sure enough, within 2 minutes, 3 minutes, Michael Cole announces that Bobby Lashley is undergoing concussion protocol. He will not return in the match. There will be a new WWE champion. So what happens? You have Bobby Lashley's pod still yet to be opened. You got Brock Lesnar's pod still yet to be opened. You look at the time. It is now, I would say, 10:46, 10:47 Saudi time. So you know it's coming to a conclusion soon. So when they announce the next pod, it's Bobby Lashley's. Well, there's nobody in Bobby Lashley's pod. I know some people thought that maybe somebody else would come out in his place, which honestly, if you think about it, would have made no sense. So Brock is pissed off. Brock don't want to wait a couple of more minutes. So even though they announced Bobby Lashley's pod, Brock, remember what I've been saying for months. He is next to The Undertaker. He is that iconic in Saudi Arabia. He is just larger than life, superhero. I mean, Undertaker's the only one above him. So Brock, you know, as only Brock could do, Brock punches his way out of the chamber. Crowd is going nuts for it. So Lesnar is in a few minutes earlier. And this is, okay, this is how we can end the match a couple of minutes earlier. Brock Lesnar with an F5 on Seth Rollins, he's out. Brock Lesnar with an F5 on Riddle, he's out. Brock Lesnar with an F5 on AJ Styles, he's out. So now it's down to Austin Theory and Brock Lesnar. And look, if you remember our predictions last Monday, Austin Theory was going to get the shit kicked out of him. But in defeat, he was going to win. Not win championships, but this elevates Austin Theory. Austin Theory got the crap kicked out of him. It's down to Brock Lesnar and Austin Theory. And for about maybe 45 seconds, you know, it I don't want to say it, I had the similar feeling with Santino Marella when he was in the chamber. If you remember that night, there was a lot of us that for about 2-3 minutes, we were like, oh my God, this guy may actually win it. And the funny thing was, most of us were like, you know what? That'd be pretty cool. That's how good it played off. Didn't happen. But tonight, Austin Theory with a low blow on Brock Lesnar hits a DDT. And everybody's like, holy shit. All I did was piss off Brock Lesnar even more. Brock Lesnar starts beating the balls out of Austin Theory. Austin Theory's trying to climb out of the chamber. There's no way to go. So what ends up happening, they end up both on top of one of the pods. Brock Lesnar starts slamming Austin Theory into the chamber. And then he picks up Austin Theory. And I thought Brock was going off the top of the pod as well. And I thought to myself, Sid Vicious flashbacks. I'm like, I've never seen Brock Lesnar jump that high. I don't even think Brock Lesnar would jump into a pool that high. So he picks up Austin Theory, and you know something bad is going to happen. And he F5s Austin Theory, but just throws him off the pod. And it looked nuts. It looked crazy. I don't think Saudi Arabia would chant holy shit. I don't recall ever hearing a holy shit chant inside. I'm probably wrong, but I know most of us at home, we were like, holy shit. Austin Theory, you were like, he's dead. That's it. He's dead. So Brock climbs back down. Brock ends up hitting F5, pins him. And then I wanted the screenshot. I couldn't find it. You believe me when I tell you, I'm not saying it for credit, but if you watch the beginning of this show with this with the montage I put together, I went live 5 minutes after, I know that said two, but I went 5 minutes after the pay-per-view ended. It's not easy to grab still shots of the finish of the match, get it resized, put it in a computer, add it to the montage, and have everything ready all within 5 minutes. I looked everywhere for that selfie that Brock did at the end, a fake selfie, but I couldn't get it. But right after he pins him, Brock picks up Austin Theory, pretending he's got the selfie. Austin Theory is out. Brock Lesnar is your champion. And that's how we go off the air. Again, a very predictable card. I mean, we got every match correct. And a lot of seeds were planted leading into Mania. But in my opinion, the right people won tonight. The right people won. With the exception of Bobby Lashley, because it sucks that Bobby Lashley's title reign is really what? Less than a month? They took the belt off of Big E to give it to Brock. Then they tried to give a rub to Bobby Lashley by giving him the belt and giving that win under Bobby's his resume. He beat Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship and ended Brock Lesnar's longest reign as WWE champion. So, you know, Bobby Lashley, I guess, saw the benefits from it, but in the end, Brock Lesnar is the champion again. And the one thing you got to realize is that after WrestleMania, somebody is going to have two titles. They're paying Brock either a lot more money than he originally was being paid, or that and Brock Lesnar at the same time is having a ball. Because do you envision Brock defending two belts on two shows? I mean, unless does Bobby Lashley or Big E get involved in the mix afterwards? Don't know. But they're not playing hot potato with the title near. Because if you look at it, Roman Reigns has got an insanely long run. Becky Lynch has had a very long run. The Usos are now past 200 days. Forget Nakamura. Nakamura, that was handled poorly. But you have a lot of wrestlers now having belts for long periods of time. It's just, this is to tell, they're trying to make Brock versus Roman almost like Rock Cena. They want it to be like one of those iconic matches. When you look back in the history of WWE in the last 20, 30 years, Reigns and Lesnar, title for title, it's almost like, look, I am not saying that it's as big as Warrior versus Hogan. You know, I'm not saying it's as big as Austin versus Rock, Rock versus Cena, but you know that this is the intention of this match. When you go back 5 years, 10 years, Roman versus Brock, title for title, it's all about the marquee. And that's where they're going with it. Chris Silva, would I like to see Cody versus Ray at Mania? No, I don't want to see that. I don't know how Cody would be used. You know, it was interesting. It was really weird because when we were talking about Cody on Wednesday show, was it Wednesday or Thursday? I think it was Wednesday. You know, the thing with Cody is we focused on the dollar figure. And we figured that it was probably $3 to $5 million. And when you look at the overall scope of AEW, I mean, that doesn't seem like a giant amount of money for Tony Khan to pay, which is just fascinating when you think about it, especially since they couldn't even agree to an extension, a 3-month extension, a 6-month extension. The fact that it fell apart that badly, that just tells you that WWE swooned in there and made an offer that Cody really couldn't refuse. And I'm telling you, we're going to look back on it. We're going to find out that Cody went back to Tony Khan and said to Tony Khan, look, just come close. Just come close. This is what they're offering me. Nobody in their right mind would pass up this kind of money. I don't know how much of it's guaranteed. I don't know what his duties would be outside of being a performer. But the fact that he didn't even get Super to that chat. Point is really startling. But no, I don't want to see Cody versus Ray at Mania. I think almost Ray versus Dominic seems to be where everybody wants to see this go. It wouldn't make sense for Lashley to retain because he retained who you we don't work for WWE, so we don't get paid that kind of money. But Bobby Lashley, it sucks that he lost that championship that quickly. I know what a lot of you are going to say. If you don't have any set opponent, hey, you could have Bobby Lashley versus Seth Rollins for the championship at Mania. You could have had some type of equality. There's so many ways they could have gone. But look, a lot of people thought Riddle was going to fight. Some people reported Riddle versus Randy Orton for the title at WrestleMania. I mean, there was a lot of wild scenarios that were floating out there. If you're going to ask me, if all of you are going to ask me if I think that Bobby Lashley may have been better off never winning the championship last month, you know, I still think having that accolade under your belt that you pinned Brock Lesnar, became champion. Remember the storyline that Brock didn't take Bobby Lashley seriously. Bobby who? So Bobby shut up Brock in storyline. Bobby beat Brock in storyline. Bobby did not get pinned or submitted tonight to lose that title. He lost because WWE officials refused to let him. You know what's going to happen Monday? It's so easy to figure it out. Bobby Lashley is going to come out there and say that he wanted to go back out there. Maybe he's going to take it out on Adam Pearce, that I was able to go out there and defend my WWE championship and you wouldn't let me go out there. And he'll probably have Adam Pearce say something goofy, that concussion protocol and this, this, and that. And then Bobby Lashley is going to want to take it out on the person that caused all of this. Maybe he ends up beating the crap out of Austin Theory along the way. But that's where they're going to go with this. Bobby Lashley will look sympathetic in a lot of fans' eyes because Bobby never tapped out. Bobby never got pinned. And Bobby Lashley, I'll bet the ranch, Bobby Lashley is going to say on Raw that he wanted to go out there. WWE would not let him. He may call it a conspiracy. He may feel that he's being, you know, they're doing special privileges. But again, we got to see how far this goes with Kevin Owens. But the fact that they went this route, you could pretty much lock it up now, Bobby Lashley versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. So now, again, as we, I will close it out, as we said earlier, the big question now is, will Steve Austin versus Kevin Owens be a one-on-one match, or will we have the Kevin Owens show with Steve Austin as a guest? See what happens. Nir would like to see Cody versus Sami Zayn. Yeah, you know, that's the funny thing about Cody. Let me say something about Cody for a minute. Every scenario that I've seen online about Cody returning in a wrestling capacity for WWE, every scenario I have seen it involves somebody on Raw. I'm not kidding. Every scenario, it involves him being on Raw. I didn't see one scenario where somebody brought up SmackDown until now. Cody could, look, some people think that Cody can end up doing something with NXT. I personally, I don't know about that. If you're going to spend that kind of money to get Cody back, putting him on NXT is probably one of the lesser, you know. And remember this, for those that didn't tune into my shows last week, let me say one other thing about Cody that people really need to remember. Cody is not going to try to hurt Tony Khan. He's not. I can almost guarantee he's not. But you have to remember this. Cody was the executive vice president of AEW. Cody knows what makes Tony Khan tick. Cody knows how they do business, how they negotiate business, how the contracts are constructed. He knows every little detail behind. It's almost like Kentucky Fried Chicken, that for 100 years we wanted the secret recipe because we wanted to make it ourselves, because if we can make it ourselves, then we don't need to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore. So you don't think that WWE is not going to be a little curious to pick Cody's brain? How did they do this? How did they handle this? You think Cody's going to sit there? I'm not telling. He's not going to try to hurt Tony Khan. But there's a lot. He's going to see. They're going to learn a lot about how AEW does business. I mean, that's something I don't think anybody's talking about. Maybe some people are afraid to talk about that. As much as a lot of us don't like Cody, he is an asset. But we don't want to talk tonight about Cody all that much. So tomorrow night, and originally I was going to come back here tonight at 8 o'clock for the Don Tony show, but I think that's a little overkill. Tomorrow night, I come up anyway for the sit-down with yours truly. So if you're around Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, join me here. We will get into wrestling news. We will talk about Undertaker being inducted in WWE Hall of Fame. That is a little banner that I made up myself. Yes, we will definitely talk about it. Believe it or not, last night, no joke, I actually was working on a little... Oh, wait. That's a little too small. I was working on a little Undertaker montage, a montage where I would, you know, not get in trouble for. But, yeah, we'll share, like, little montage that I made up as well. It's actually pretty cool the way it came out. No music, though. Tonight on Elimination Chamber, they were using Metallica's music. But, yeah, so we'll definitely talk a lot of Undertaker. And I'm sure we'll have more discussion about Cody. We'll do live chat tomorrow, live Q&A. Maybe we'll take a few calls in the process. But listen, I talked about this Thursday. I know not everybody's tuned in on Thursday, but you know, going forward, in the comment section, if you have any questions based on today's recap, you know, like somebody asked me earlier, do I see Cody versus Ray at WrestleMania? Post it in the comment section. If you have any questions, follow-up questions based on what I said tonight, post it in the comment section. I will answer them in the comment section. So, you know, tell me what you thought about Elimination Chamber. My favorite match of the night, I got to go with the men's elimination chamber. It was predictable, but if there was any way to have Bobby lose this championship, if WWE said to us, look, he's losing the title, how would you want him to lose it? Having him taken out the way he did against his will is probably the only way that we would accept it. Bobby Lashley lost the championship against his will. That is the storyline going forward. But I loved the way it was done. I loved Austin Theory's performance. I will admit, seeing Riddle and AJ Styles and Seth Rollins get pinned after 1F5, this is for the WWE Championship. This is not for a championship match. This is not for a championship contender's opportunity. This is to win the championship. So to see all three of them get pinned after 1F5, a little cheap to me. But overall, I thought it was good. Austin Theory bumped like a maniac. And the selfies against the chambers made me laugh. So that was my favorite match. My least favorite match, boy, I tell you, this is actually kind of hard. Let's run through these. I'm not going to go through the matches again, but let's just look at these matches again. Miz versus Rey. Tell you the truth. Wow. You really can't say much bad about any of these matches. Were they all spectacular? We can't count the Usos and the Viking Raiders. We definitely can't count them. But if we don't count Miz and Rey since it was kickoff show, I don't know. I mean, you know what? I'd still go with Moss and McIntyre. Probably my least favorite match. I'm not going to say it changed my mind because he almost got hurt. Nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. But if that spot never happened, no matter, even though it was false count anywhere, this was not a match that I wanted to see at Elimination Chamber. So I got to go with Moss and McIntyre. Even though the match was not bad, that was probably my least favorite match of the night. Rey and Miz, like I said, it was kickoff show, so I really don't want to count that. But even though it was a decent match. My favorite match, again, the men's Elimination Chamber. Lita versus Becky was a lot of fun as well. The women's Elimination Chamber was exactly what we thought it was going to be, rushed and very watered down. But still, it was nice to see Alexa Bliss back. And, you know, overall, I don't think anybody did a bad job tonight. Steph, I've been saying countless times how much of a Sonya Deville fan I am now. And as far as because she's Italian, I don't like people simply because they're Italian. You know, Sonya Deville being Italian is a nice thing because I am Italian. Hey, I'm the boss. Capisce? But I'm appreciating Sonya Deville. If they continue that feud into Mania, I want it to be for her, you know, position on the line. I'm not saying that Naomi should become GM, but I think if Sonya loses, she loses her opportunity. Now, that would be something because Sonya last time, she lost a loser leaves WWE. Now it may be loser, she loses her power as GM. So Sonya is involved in two major stipulations where she loses something tremendously. But I thought about that Kingsley. I thought about Lashley versus Lesnar versus Reigns. I get it, but you look at that marquee poster. Title for title. I picture Paul Heyman saying this repeatedly. Boy, title for title. It's just, you think about it, you don't want a third or fourth person in there. Trust me, I know some people, here's how you could put Big E in there, and how you could put Lashley in there, how you could put this in there. No. This is going to be looked at in the annals of, again, not saying that it's on the same level, Hogan, Andre. Savage, Hogan, Warrior, Hogan, Cena, Rock, Austin, Rock, Reigns, Lesnar, Kane, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart. You know, like, it's they're going to keep it one-on-one. They're not changing that, in my opinion. So, Ric Flair, as far as Brock breaking Ric Flair's record, I don't see that happening. But at this stage of the game, look, I think WWE still has a lot of love for Ric Flair. And I don't think they want to go out of their way and get rid of his reign, his record reign, simply because they're not in the good graces right now. Ric Flair, I mean, you see how he is. I mean, I don't want to get personal on the guy, but, you know, he look at his most recent marriage. I mean, Ric Flair is the type of person that you love, but, you know, he's still like, oh, I love that guy. I love him. You know, so, but I don't think they want to hurt the man. So, could Cena break it? Sure. Sure. Why not? So, I don't know if Cena is going to make an appearance at Mania. You almost think like he has to, right? Even if he makes a cameo. You mean to tell me you wouldn't want the Peacemaker? I'd love to see the Peacemaker on the Kevin Owens show. You know? I mean, I know we heard about Knoxville and Sami Zayn. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But, man, I could see the Peacemaker's got to make an appearance. By the way, I did get those autographed Peacemaker photos. I posted a picture of one online. I didn't tweet it out. I just sent a copy to John Cena saying, oh, you know, a friend of mine just sent me this. So, but anyway, I'm going to jet out of here. We're at an hour and 20 minutes. I think we were very fair with this pay-per-view. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give the pay-per-view, an 8. Give it an 8. I think that is fair because no match sucked. And honestly, I didn't want to see the Viking Raiders versus the Usos in the first place. You know what I mean? So that might have ended up being my least favorite match anyway. But if you look, I mean, the women's match a little rushed, but it was still, they did a good job, and Alexa Bliss was fine in her return. Lita versus Becky was great. The women's tag match told exactly the story it needed to do, and Ronda didn't look like a deer in headlights. The men's elimination chamber match was fine. I give it an 8. You know, 7.5 at 8. Not really disappointed me. I mean, you know, again, it was very predictable. I'm not bragging that we got every match right, because believe me, there's a lot of you out there that got every match right as well. It was a predictable pay-per-view. But the right people won. And the good thing about it is all the back and forth that you and I had about Becky versus Bianca, now it is done. Now you know the match is set. Now you know, more than likely, almost bet the ranch, Bianca is going to win. And that is going to be that WrestleMania moment. Now we got to see what happens with Sasha Banks. Because remember, you know, we talked about Sasha and Bayley possibly reforming tag team going after Zelina and Carmella. Some of you want to see Melina versus Sasha, which I would love to see it, but I don't know if that would really happen. So there's a lot of matches that still have to be put together. And Sasha, it's going to really depend more on how much she's able to do. You know, there's a lot of people who still don't realize that Sasha is not 100%. You know, they think that WWE is just doing her dirty right now. That's not the case at all. By the way, somebody that hooks me up with signed photos, few of you requested autographed photos of Sasha dressed as Sailor Moon. I have it on the way, and I have picture proof of it. And maybe tomorrow I'll show it. So yeah, we will be giving away very, very shortly autographed photos of Sasha dressed as Sailor Moon. And not just a picture of her during the Royal Rumble, a posed picture that she did in the back. So I was very, very excited to get my hands on those because I asked someone, I said, look, got a few people have been asking about that. So, and by the way, oh my God, the amount of requests for the president photos that I got the other day, I mean, there was probably about 30 of you that asked for it. You know, I'm not looking to sell them or give them away. You know, in the future, you know, we'll figure out something with them. But anyway, I'm out of here. Post your comments. If you have any follow-up questions based on what we talked about, post it in the comment section as well. I'll be more than happy to answer them. And if you're around Sunday night, join me, 8:05 p.m. Eastern. We will talk about pretty much anything you want. We'll fall out from Elimination Chamber, a little more WrestleMania, maybe some Cody, some wrestling news. You know, I don't know how much you all going to want to talk about the Meltzer Awards. You know, funny thing about it is I subscribe, so I could have voted as well, but I don't vote on awards. I don't vote on awards. Hell, I don't even think we're doing our own award show because it's so campy the way it's ended up. It's all about popularity, getting noticed, selling a magazine, getting attention. Fuck that. Fuck that. All right, everybody. I'm out of here. Much love. I'll see you tomorrow night, 8.05 p.m. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.